Adam Burr, Executive Director, Minnesota Corn Growers Association.
Adam, let's talk about the Minnesota legislative session to this point. They're fresh off an Easter recess. As you look at what's been done so far and what still needs to be done, how would you assess the first couple of months of the legislature?
Well, I think it's encouraging that the leadership on both the House and the Senate set the aggressive deadlines that they did to get budget omnibus bills, finance bills through their respective houses so they could reach this point early in session so that there was adequate time to make final changes through conference committee between the differences, reconcile the differences between the House and the Senate and make sure they get it to the governor in a timely manner to avoid some of the things we've seen the last couple sessions where we ran into special sessions and didn't make our deadline. So I do think it's encouraging that where we're at this point in the session in terms of having adequate time for them to do their work in a transparent manner. So from just a process standpoint, I think there's some encouraging things. Relative to our priorities, I think there's a number of things that we're pleased about. Relative to taxes, certainly property tax relief was one of our top priorities, particularly in those areas that have school bonding levies, where we see a disproportionate increase on the ag property taxes there. And, there are big differences between the tax bills between the House and the Senate and the governor's plan. The one thing that is consistent among all three plans is that property tax credit on those ag lands that see an increase due to a school bond levy. So we're very encouraged that is in all three proposals, but it does sound like they have some work to do to reconcile the other differences amongst the tax plans. So that's encouraging. Also encouraged by some of the developments that took place even before the Easter break around health insurance and, both early in the session with the credit that for premium relief, as well as here just before session where they, made some provisions to offer the reinsurance program to, as we understand it, a lot of the costs incurred on the premiums are because of the high-risk pool, the little 2% that accounts for a large portion of the cost to insurance companies. So though we're not experts on how to address that, it seems like they've made provisions prior to the Easter break to help address those increasing premiums. So hopefully we see some premium relief. So that was encouraging. The other thing we're encouraged about is some of the provisions around buffers that are in both the House and the Senate environmental omnibus bills. Number of things in there that have been concerned to us that have been addressed. One of those being, there's this confusion about ditches that have a public waters designation and therefore require a 50-foot buffer. Whereas you've got, public ditches that require a 16.5-foot buffer. But when you look at them, a ditch is a ditch. And so there's some provisions in the language to help reconcile some of those differences. And I think that addresses a lot of the concerns that we've been hearing. There's also provisions that unless there's 100% cost share available, you can't enforce the rule. So that's encouraging. Sort of non-legislatively, Bowser has started to release its alternative practices, and we've been engaged in research in partnership with Bowser and the University of Minnesota to identify alternative practices, and that's moving along well, so I think that information will get disseminated. And again, that sort of falls outside of the legislation. And then the last thing on buffers is both the House and the Senate are proposing delays in the enforcement. On the Senate, it's a 2-year delay. On the House side, it's a 1-year delay. And, we think given that we're still just now getting information about alternative practices, that the DNR is just now releasing the final version of the maps, that, folks are getting into the fields, are going to be busy the next couple months. We need time to ensure that our farmers have the information they need to comply. And I think it's a lot to try to do prior to November 1st. So I think a 1-year extension seems reasonable given all the new information that's coming to light that farmers are just now receiving. And then lastly, one of our priorities was transportation. And again, that's an area that, you know, there's differences between the House and the Senate and the governor, but the governor was just interviewed and not too long ago, and it sounds like he wants to pass the transportation bill and is willing to compromise on some of his provisions. So very encouraged to hear that we may get a transportation bill passed, as that's something that's important to our members as well. So overall, in terms of our priorities, healthcare, buffers, transportation, taxes, we see a lot of things that are still in play that are encouraging.
Adam, on buffers, how much of an uphill battle do you think there will be with legislation both in the House and in the Senate? Governor Dayton has said that he will not make any more concessions on buffer language, that he is done doing that. So getting a bill to his desk and having him sign that would do the things that you're seeking regarding the buffer law, how do you think the prospects shape up at this point?
Yeah, that's a good question, and honestly, I don't know. Certainly, if you go by what he said, and even recently yesterday was Water Action Day at the Capitol, and he reinforced his comments about not rolling back some of the environmental regulations and provisions, including the buffer law. So I certainly don't think we'll have issues getting those provisions, you know, in terms of what we see in the House and Senate. I think there's agreement there. Ultimately, it comes down to what will he veto? And, you know, right now it seems to suggest that he wouldn't or he would veto any changes made to the buffer law. So I think we need to get that on his desk, though, and see if that will start a conversation about what he might be open to. But I think first and foremost, let's get it on his desk. Let's get it in front of him. We welcome the opportunity to visit with him and have been providing information to suggest why we, particularly on the delay and the other questions and concerns we have about the buffer law, we want to make something that improves the buffer law and makes it workable. That's been our goal and objective from day one on this. And so hopefully he's receptive to a conversation about it, but certainly remains to be seen.
So overall, it sounds like you're pleased with what's transpired so far in the legislative session. But if there were some points of frustration, the corn growers are so involved with research, and certainly there are state dollars that are utilized to aid in that research. Maybe there were some things that were proposed early on that didn't make it through some of those deadlines in March. If there were some areas that you were disappointed by or that the corn growers were disappointed by so far this session, Adam, what would they be?
You know, honestly, I can't say relative to what our main priorities were that there's any disappointment to this stage. But really, this is the critical time, right? So it ultimately comes down to what will pass and what will make it through these conference committees, what gets reconciled in terms of differences, and then what ultimately the governor will sign. So that ultimately will be our test as to where we're at and how pleased we are with how session went. I mean, up to this point, we are pleased, and I really can't cite any major concerns or frustrations. I think ultimately, though, it will come down to where we're at when session's over and everything's been signed. So ask me in about 5 weeks whether I'm frustrated or not. That'll probably be a better time to ask me.
we'll put that on the calendar. Call you in 5 weeks.
Sounds perfect.
Anything else that you wanted to add, Adam?
Nothing comes to mind. I think we've hit the points that, like I said, the things that we're tracking. Last week, over the legislative break, we made a big push to encourage our members to go out and visit with their legislatures over break. And from what I can see, comments that legislators have made and town hall meetings they held, it sounds like our members took advantage of that time to visit about their priorities. And kudos to them. It's important that their voices are heard. They, at the end of the day, nothing replaces the value of hearing from the constituency. We hear that over and over. We certainly do a lot of work at the Capitol, but at the end of the day, hearing directly from the constituents has the most value. And it sounds like Folks took advantage of that last week. So thanks to our members for taking some time to do that.